prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this privilege to stand here before your people this morning to talk about the things, Lord, that you are doing in your bride, that you are bringing faith more and more into your bride, a divine revelation, moving it, Lord, from our heart and from our mind into our heart, and anointing it by the Holy Ghost. Be with us this morning, Father, and help those who couldn't be here. We pray that, Lord, you would open up their eyes and their hearts as well, and that they might truly see the end time revelation of Jesus Christ, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning, I would like to speak on how we move from an intellectual faith into a spiritual divine revelation. And in this sermon, we're going to focus upon the effect of the Word upon our mind and the moving down from the from our mind into our soul, bringing it from an intellectual conception or an intellectual faith into a spiritual faith or a divine revelation. Moving from the mental faith into spiritual revelation, and once it has been anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, Brother Branham said in a sermon, Blasphemous Names, he said, coming to your mental faith, right here, comes the Holy Spirit. Coming down into your mental faith and making it a spiritual faith, then spiritual faith only recognizes the Word. In another place, Brother Branham said, he takes it from here and brings it down to here. All right? So, in looking at this condition of the mind, we see that God has come down in this hour to bring about a change of the mind first, that we might receive His mind. He said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And we also know in Colossians 3 and 4, we're told that when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with Him in the same glory or the same mindset. Because we know the word glory, actually, is the Greek word doxa, and it means the opinions, the values, and the judgments. So that if it is a condition of the mind, then it must first come to our mind before it can move down into our heart and soul and take over the very ambitions and the very desires of our heart. That's why the scripture tells us, where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. Now in Luke 6 and 45 we read, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so we see here, or we find the scripture telling us, that our hearts will only reflect the real treasure that lays within it. And it will show what our hearts really are thinking on and the things that we talk about, because it'll come out of our mouth. So where your heart is, as the heart thinketh, so is he, the Bible says. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now from his sermon, Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel, Brother Branham, he said, I think the things that you think on and the things that you do, in other words, the actions, the things that you talk about, it creates an atmosphere. What your mind is feeding upon is only a reflection of your spiritual condition, which is only a reflection of your eternal destination. Because remember, he also said, what you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. God's elect will hold his word as their treasure, and it will reflect in their thoughts and their actions as well. Now from his sermon, Enticing Spirits, Brother Brown said, you let me see what a man reads, let me see what he watches and listens to, the music he listens to at, and I can tell you what spiritual condition he's in. And he said, because that's your appetite. Yeah. You know, we always say a man is what he eats, right? You are what you eat. And from what is the Holy Ghost given for, Brother Branham said, you let me talk to a man for 2 minutes, and I can tell you whether he's received the Holy Ghost or not. And you say, well, that's because he's a prophet. No, he says, so can you. So can you. And it's at any child that refused circumcision in the Old Testament, or excuse me, it separates them. It's a mark. It's a sign. The Holy Spirit is a sign. And it's in any child that refused circumcision in the Old Testament, which was a foreshadow of the Holy Ghost, was cut off from amongst the people. He could not have fellowship with the rest of the congregation if he refused to be circumcised. Now pattern that to today. A person that would refuse to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost can have no fellowship among those that have the Holy Ghost. You just can't do it. You have to be a nature. It's like my mother used to say, birds of a feather flock together. Well, it's an old proverb, but it's true. It's a true one. You don't see doves and crows fellowshipping. Their diets are different. Their habits are different. Their desires are different. And that's the way it is with the world and with the Christians when you have been circumcised by the Holy Spirit, which means to cut off a flesh. So we see that there is a certain diet that we partake of. A crow can eat just anything. Nothing hardly will bother him. But a dove can only eat certain kinds of foods. That's his nature. To eat like a crow would kill the dove. I believe that with all my heart. From the message thirst, Brother Brown says, there is a control tower in your soul that tells you the spiritual things that you have need of. Something in your spirit. And you, by this, can tell what kind of a life is controlling you. When you can see what your desires are, then you can tell by that what kind of something that's in you that's creating this desire that you have. See? There is a certain thing that you thirst for. And it can tell you in your soul what this desire is by the nature of the thirst that you have. I hope you understand that. So when you're thirsting for, country western music, boogie-woogie, television shows like I Love Lucy, those things, that ought to tell you, it's like taking a thermometer to your soul. He says, the things that you thirst for, just watch what you're thirsting for, and that'll tell you where your soul is at. From God's only provided place of worship, he says, seeing, Lord, that mental conditions, the nervous age that the people's living in, is driving them out of their minds to exactly fulfill what the scripture said and promised the great hideous things would come upon the earth like locusts to haunt the women that cut their hair. They'll have long hair like a woman and different hideous sights that they'll be able to see, Lord, in that mental deluded condition that they're in. Well, you saw that beginning in the 80s when you had, I think it was KISS, K-I-S, I don't know what it stands for. But I mean, they looked like, the men had long hair like a woman. And they had ghoulish faces like something out of hell. And young people, young minds would just sit and watch that stuff. And just heavy metal, just bang, 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 bang on a metal instrument, and they call that music. I remember Brother Steve did a sermon years and years ago on music, and he did a really good job. He showed the progression of how it got worse and worse and worse, and even the Beatles and their haircuts, Brother Brown condemned them, and yet they were more modest than, a lot, well, I won't say in this church, but in a lot of so-called Christianity today, they looked decent compared to them, and they had spirits out of hell. I remember that sermon. I still remember that sermon. Yeah.
Just to let you know that KISS stood for Kings and Satanic Service.
Oh, Kings and Satanic Service. Well, that's what you get. That's what the people feed on. That's what they're going to get. He says, and different hideous sights that they'll be able to see, Lord, in that mental deluded condition that they're in, and then screaming for the rocks and the mountains. Women who would mother dogs and cats and not raise children to honor you, those that you did give children to, and they did conceive them, turn them loose on the streets to do as they want. No wonder you said, Lord, when you were going to the cross, then they'll begin to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them. Again, from his sermon, Christ identified the same. Brother Brown said, if the world would stand another 50 years, I have news for you. He said this in 1964. That's 53 years ago. So let's see what he had to say about 2014, 3 years ago. If the world would stand another 50 years, the whole world would be totally insane. Look at the sanity from 20 years ago to this time, see? You go to Walmart. I don't even want to talk about Walmart. You can't even hardly go in there. The people dress so vulgar. They come in the middle of the day in their pajamas. And worse than that. Total insanity. As I said, he was talking about 50 years from then, 2014, and we see it in religion. ministers all tattooed up like lizards, and in politics where the ultra-left has taken over the Democratic Party and even the ultra-right, you have crazy people who would want to kill for politics. Just look what happened the other day down in South Carolina. One person dead, 19 injured. Why? Because one group wanted the government to quit changing history, and their other group hated that history, that had been, so they wanted to change it. Why can't they just let history be as it was? There has been a culture war going on since the 50s and 60s. And the battleground is in the minds of the children, and in the schools is where the battleground is taking place, with an objective to rot the minds of the children and to turn them into a bunch of sodomites. From the Message Communion, he said, and we also can look around and see that the way the human mind is leaving the people. That we can't stay too much longer. We'd be in a complete insane institution. The whole world would be, see, so we're at the end time. And that's exactly the description. If you go out in the world today, go to any of the stores, go to the malls, you go to the airports, any place you go, it's an insane asylum. Just Looney Tunes walking around. I'll never forget the first time I saw the earbuds, you know, people walking around, they're talking to themselves. I thought, wow, the world's going crazy. They had all these little Bluetooth in their ears walking around, you know. You couldn't see it on their face, so they're just walking down the aisles and talking. I see this one talking, and another one come along talking. Like, oh my goodness, the whole world's going crazy. And you know, those things are pumping little radiation into their minds. And no wonder the whole world is crazy. They're just insane. From Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to 20. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Now remember, we are in the bright age. We are no longer in this age. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were either cold or hot. God would rather people be cold than lukewarm. Now just think about that. Because at least you would know where they stand. That's like our politicians who say one thing. Oh, they say, I'm for this, I'm for this, I'm for this. And then they fight against the very thing that they said they're for. Lukewarm. It's like people who say, Jesus is my Lord. You can't even give him the time of day. They don't even pray every day. They don't read their Bible every day. They don't hear from God in his word every day. Brother Brown said they'd rather stay home on a Wednesday night. Watch I Love Lucy. It just shows you. Your diet shows you what's in your hearts. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. They rejected him. He's on the outside, and now he rejects them. And by the way, his mouth is his word. That is where he speaks, and they are rejected even as they have rejected him. Because thou sayest, I am rich, I'm increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. These people are living under a total delusion, seeing themselves as a total opposite of what they really are. They are religious, but their worship is not of the one true God. They persecute the righteous all the while, calling themselves righteous. They call themselves progressive when all they're doing is just the opposite. They are destructive to all that is good. The Bible tells us there was to come a time when men would call evil good and good evil. You know, we're living in that time. Look at the haughty indignation of the left. And I'm not just talking about the left in politics. I'm talking about the left in church. The left, you know, those who left. I mean, I'm not talking about here. I'm just talking about, you know, those who have left the word. Look at the haughty indignation of the left who believes it is just. They believe it's a just cause for a woman to be able to kill a child in her body. They think that, oh, that's right to choose. I've got a right to choose. Yes. Well, what about the baby's right to choose? What about the husband or the man? What about his right to choose? So they believe it's a just cause that a woman can have control over her body as if that baby is nothing other than maybe a tumor. And so they kill unborn children, and then they say that they are the party of protecting the children. It is being said by those who study these things that at least one third of the deep state government employees, I'm talking about Congress, I'm talking about the newsmen that are on TV, half of them now are homosexuals, they're sodomites, and half the women are sodomites. But not only sodomites, but they're pedophiles. The worst of sodomy. And I don't know if the number is accurate, but I can say without qualification that they're all sodomites. The people pierce themselves and tattoo themselves to look like a lizard or a snake, and then call Christians intolerant and mean-spirited, and think you sisters are weird if you dress with long hair and long skirts to glorify your God. They force their filthy agendas on those who are trying to live a sanctified life. And then when the saints oppose what they're trying to push down our throats, they call us mean-spirited for rejecting or speaking up. Now, to me, friends, that's total insanity. He says, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve. Now, eye salve is an oil. And oil represents the Holy Spirit. That thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Change your thinking. Change your mind. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. So notice that they are blind, they are naked, and they don't even know it. That's your Walmart crowd. That's your Sam's Club crowd. They're not in their right mind. When a person comes to their right mind, they put clothes back on and they stop acting like animals. From the presence of God and recognize, Brother Brown said, just think if a man or a woman was on the street, wretched, blind, poor, miserable, and naked, and you could tell them that they were naked, and they would listen to you, but what if they are naked and they don't believe it? What a mental condition that is in. And he saw this coming 53 years ago. Just think about that. How many in here are 53 or older? All of you younger people, he saw it before you were even born. The Apostle Paul warned us of this loss of the mind and this insane condition back 2,000 years ago. In Romans 1:28, he says, and even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, these are people that put him on the outside. Remember, he's on the outside, the Word on the outside, trying to get in, but they won't open the door. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unright wiseness, in other words, incorrect thinking, which brings forth fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. That's quite a list. And here's the key. Without understanding. Covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable. You just can't, they just want to argue. You just can't get them to placate. Unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, they know it, that's the judgment of God, but these are they who know the judgment of God, and yet, not only do the same, but have pleasure in others that do them. That is your television. People watching television, enjoying that sin right on the TV set. In other words, they take their stand with a false fivefold ministry, the clergy of today, and with Hollywood. That's what's producing this insanity that we see today. How could people even think that television has no impact on the youth today? That's totally, totally ludicrous. From God's only provided place of worship, Brother Brown said, now look at this teenage insanity, insane. And 80% of the children in school is mentally retarded. And you know that number, I'm going to tell you something. When I was actually in the University of Minnesota taking classes to become a teacher. I read a statistic of the teachers in this. I remember Brother Brown saying this, and I read a statistic of the teachers that were teaching the children in Florida schools, and 80% of them could not pass a 12th grade efficiency test or proficiency test. 80%. And I thought, well, there's why your children are insane. The blind are leading the blind. Now, I've shown you in the past the 8th grade proficiency test to pass the 8th grade in Kansas in the year 1911. And if you want it, just go online, type in Google, type in Kansas proficiency, 8th grade proficiency test. You don't have to put the date in there, just 8th grade proficiency test. Or you can put 1911, I think it's 1911 or 1908, and it'll pull it up. And today I doubt we have any college graduates in this nation, in the Western civilization, that could pass that test. That's how dumbed down the people are today. Not a one of them. They go to school to become dumber. You're better off not going to school and learning a trade. They all fail. But oh, they have doctor's degrees or master's degrees, and they just get colder by degrees. They specialize in one little area. They know about that area, but they don't know nothing else. Our doctors today have no clue how to deal with cancer. Well, let's just kill the person. Then he won't have cancer no more. Let's radiate him. Let's put him in a microwave and turn it up. If it didn't work, then we'll do it again. Let's fill him full of chemicals that'll kill every cell in his body, so hopefully we'll catch the cancer cells. Then we can say, we did it, we killed the cancer. Yeah, you killed the patient too. Oh, that's just a little statistic. The Brother Brown continues, what will their children be? Now that's a good question. 53 years ago, he said, what will their children be? He said, we can't have another generation. We're at the end. Jesus said these things would come. Why, the world will be completely, totally insane. It's not just but just 1 degree from it. Now, look at the snowflakes on our college campuses today. They can't take someone talking truth to them. They cry and they throw tantrums. They pass out cuddly bears, and cuddly industry is just one of the fastest growing industries in America today. They hand them out coloring books, crayons. 22-year-old children. Young men today in their 30s acting like they're 16. You hardly find a young man in his 30s today that's grown up that actually acts like a 30-year-old. The professional cuddling industry has seen a considerable spike in business, this is from Breitbart, since the election of Donald Trump to the presidency, a report for Rolling Stone has revealed. Cuddling. Cuddle up. Cuddle up. Everybody, just cuddle up. Oh, I'm so sad. People aren't men. They're not women. They're not... Brother Brown followed me. He just said they're hotbed plants. They have to be sprayed all the time. That's mental condition, mental deficiency. The scripture says not only do those people who do these evil things that it listed deserve death, but also those who would sit back and take pleasure in those who are doing them. That's television, the greatest indoctrination tool the devil has ever had. A murder a minute. Those of you who have TV in your homes are exposing your kids to a murder every minute. That's the official statistics. And what about adultery and fornication and women running around naked? They don't even do studies like that because they think that's okay. Not just once per minute, but try once every few seconds. No wonder the kids today are insane and desensitized to the violence and moral filth. You know who was behind all of these video games that the young guys like to do where they shoot? Shooting things. That's our military. They're trying to desensitize young men so they can go out and kill and not have it affect their conscience. Well, that's why the Bible says their consciences are seared. They've been shooting at people, shooting, this paintball and stuff. I've been totally against it. My father raised me up. He just gave us instructions with a BB gun, but he said, you never point a gun at anyone unless you intend to kill. So paintball, forget it. It's a gun. A murder of men. Romans 1:22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I would venture to say you could talk to the average doctor today and the average professor today, and you just find a bunch of babble coming out of their mouth. Doctors have no clue what causes anything. They just know that this pill will help for this symptom. So they give you this pill for this symptom, and then this pill causes another symptom, so then you got to take another pill for that symptom. And it's just, most people, the average person is taking something like 8 different pills. Get off of all of it. It's poison. I'm telling you, get off of modern-day so-called medicine. It's not medicine. Open up your Bibles and study what the Bible says for healing. He's come down with healing in His wings. There's natural remedies. There's all kinds of natural things. There's the food you eat. Your minerals in your I can stay on here for days. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? So what are we looking at here is the fact that God has made us to receive His word first with our minds, and then He will anoint that understanding, and He has given us, and then He drops it down into our soul and it becomes a spiritual revelation. But what if you deny the mental understanding first? There's only one thing for you, and that's darkness. And that's why you see the world has gone insane. So we're dealing with the mind here, and that is why we see Brother Brown pointing to the deteriorating condition of the minds in people. Now this brings us up. This brings a question up. I'd just like to explain for the next few minutes how man is a three-part being. He has a body, soul, and spirit. So you might ask, well, where is the mind? Where is, and what is the soul? And what about the heart? Well, let me just explain these things, how they are tied in with how God is manifested. Well, let's start first. I was showing you this threefold nature of man. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are in the parousia. He's hoping that our whole body, soul, and spirit will be preserved blameless. Blameless. But we're living in the most vile time, where the minds of the people, which is actually in the spirit realm, are not blameless. They're totally perverted. And the bodies are all twisted with, piercing. People with 10 piercings on their lips, in their tongues, in their nose, in their ears, in their eyelid. Isn't it funny, the 5 senses they pierce? In their hands. Now, in looking at this scripture, we see not only a separation of body, soul, and spirit, but the scripture is telling us that we are to be sanctified wholly or completely in our body, in our soul, in our spirit at the time of the parousia of Christ. So how do we become sanctified completely in our body, soul, and spirit? Well, Jesus tells us in John 17, verse 17 to 19, that we are sanctified through the truth. David said in Psalm 119, how does a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word thereof. And then he further defined what this truth is when he said, thy word is truth, speaking of God's word. In fact, Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul contrasts those who are elect from those who are not, in that we are sanctified in our spirits through belief in the truth, and in contrast to those who are actually go after a delusion. He says, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the spirit, of the mind, and belief of the truth. Now, this word sanctify is a cleansing. Psalm 119:9, we are told that we cleanse ourselves by taking heed to the word. In Ephesians 5:26, we see that God cleanses us by the washing of water by the Word. And so we see that we are washed in our spirit, and our spirit is said to be cleansed by the Word of God. But what is this spirit that is washed and cleansed by God's Word? Now, we know there's a difference between your body, soul, and spirit, as we're told in Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we see here that the Word of God divides so cleanly that it can even differentiate between soul and spirit. Now, there are three things that we must ask here. And I guess that we would re-ask the question in this manner. Assuming that there is a threefold nature to man, a body, soul, and spirit, then where does the mind fit in? Where is the mind, and where and what is the soul and the heart? Now, in dividing the difference between soul and spirit, we find a real challenge because they are both defined so closely according to the Greek. But we're told in Hebrews 4 that the Word of God, when it comes forth discerning, it will also discern right down to the difference between the soul and spirit. And so we must go to what Brother Branham said about these two parts of our human makeup. From knoweth it not, he said, now, this outside man is the flesh. That's what we look at, what we see. And it has five inlets to that body. And any grammar school child, as myself, would know that there's five senses that control the body. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. And without that, you can't touch the body. That's the only way that you can have to the body is see, taste, feel, smell, and hear it. See, you see it, you taste it, you feel it. Now, that is the evil one on the outside. Now, inside of you, that is spirit, which you become when you're born in here and the breath of life is breathed into you. That spirit is of a worldly nature because it was not given from God, but it was given or permitted by God. Now you got that. For every child that's born into the world is born in sin, shaped iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. Is that right? So that person inside there is a sinner to begin with, but now it's got five inlets. And I don't know whether I call them right off or not, but first I know it is thought and conscience and love and choice. A conscience, love, reason. Oh, there's five inlets to the spirit. Actually, he names them in several other messages as being conscience, affection, reasoning, memory, and imagination. Then he says, you can't think with your body, you have to think with your spirit. You can't have conscience with your body, it has no mental faculties at all. Your body doesn't. So you have to think with your spirit. You have to reason. You can't reason with your physical being, because reason doesn't see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Reason is what you make in your mind. If you're asleep or you're out, your body's lying there dead, but your spirit can still reason. There's five senses that controls the inside man, and now, and to the last man, which is the soul, there's only one sense that controls that, and that is free moral agency, free will, to either choose or reject. Now, as I said, the soul is that part of man that identifies the man. It's his very life, it's his very nature, it's the nature of his spirit, Brother Branham said. Now, when I read 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless under the coming or parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word soul here is a Greek word psuche, which is also translated as the word life. When Jesus said, he that will lose his life for my sake shall save it, he was using the word psuche, that is also used in the same word for the word soul as we see in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and so many other scriptures. Now, many men have tried to place the soul as being inferior to the spirit, men like Dr. Larkin, before Brother Ram came along. They even taught that there is a difference between the soul and the spirit, but they could not place it correctly within the body itself. They taught that the outer is the body, which is correct, but then they taught that the next to the body lay the soul, and inside of the soul lay the spirit, which is error. Brother Ram taught us the seal after the seals were opened that the first ring is the body, then the spirit, and then the soul. This means that the spirit was in between the soul and the body. In between or in the midst or in the middle. And Daniel, of course, in Daniel 7:15, he says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body. So Brother Ram placed it right with Daniel there. So here we see the placement of the spirit. Now the soul is the life or of the person. In Greek, it is called psuche, and is translated as the word soul, or even life. Now, the Greek word for spirit is pneuma, and is translated as the word spirit, and is the disposition or the influence which fills and governs the soul of anyone, the efficient source of any power, the affection, the emotion, the desire, etc. But the word pneuma is also translated as the word mind. Now, the question was asked, where is the mind? And we must answer, according to the scripture and what Brother Brown told us, the mind is in the spirit. Yet our soul still has the last say on our choice. But the affection, reasoning, emotion, and memory, and conscience all exist in the realm of the spirit. But the soul is the nature of the spirit. And the next part of the question is, where and what is my soul? Well, I think I answered that part by saying that the soul is, it's the very nature of your spirit. In other words, when you're born again, you have a different nature. You still have the same human spirit. You'll never get rid of that. But you have a different nature. Because you have something that's quickened and now is making choices, constantly choices. No, that's not God's word. This is God's word. No, that's not God's word. This is God's word. You see? Okay. The very life of your being. Now you ask, where is it? It lies in the deepest recesses of your heart. From the inner veil, Brother Brown said, now notice there is an intellectual faith and there's a faith that comes from the heart. The old unbeliever said years ago, when the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, he said, well, that's crazy. There's no mental faculties in the heart. He said, you think with your mind. There's no mental faculties in the heart. But last year they found that's wrong. God was right. Right down in the heart, in the center of the heart, there's a little compartment where there's not even a blood cell in it. It's not in the animal heart, only in the human heart. And they say it's the occupation or the occupant of the soul. The soul lives in the heart. Then after all, God was right when he said, as a man thinketh in his heart, and I'd just like to add, so is he. Now, so this brings us to the last part of this question. What about the heart? Now, this is very important that you understand about the heart, as I just read this wonderful quote, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And of course, if the soul resides in the heart, then what if a man's heart is removed from him and he receives someone else's heart? Are they a living soul or just a living beast? Now they're talking about this year, it's going to happen sometime this fall, they're going to do a head transplant. A head transplant. They've already perfected genes that they can go in and alter the DNA so that a baby could be born, that the whole family, you know, history of the family has a certain illness, and they can place this DNA change in the baby so they'll be born without that illness. Well, they're putting fish DNA in tomatoes. Man's thinking he's God. He's playing around with God's laws. But, of course, if the soul resides in the heart, then what if the man's heart's removed from him? What about it? I believe they've already died and their soul has gone to its eternal destination and all you have remaining is a living beast. But what of those people who are purely serpent seed? What then? Do they have a soul? And that's a very good question. Because we know, according to the prophet, that the serpent had a place for the soul, but he had no soul. Why do you think that they can go out there and just murder, maim, rape, pillage, everything else? Brother Ram called them brute beasts. That's all they are. Why do you think that they can tattoo themselves from head to foot? Look like lizards, cut their tongues so they have a tongue like a snake. And do all those things to their bodies. And there's no conviction. There's no conscience. From hearing him, he said, man ain't measured by muscles. That's beast. Man's measured by character. I've seen men that weigh 200 pounds and all muscle and didn't have an ounce of man in him. Throw a baby out of a mother's arms and ravish her. That ain't a man. That's a beast. That's a brute. Man is character. There never was a man like Jesus Christ, but the Bible said that there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. Probably a little bitty fellow, stooped in the shoulder or something. We all hid, as it were, our faces from him, the Bible says. There never was a character like that, though. That's the real man. You don't measure man's muscles. You don't measure a man's character by his size of his muscles, but by the bags of the knees in his pants where he's been praying. That's what you measure man by, character. And you know, that's the only thing you're going to take with you, is your character. That's it. So if the only thing that we're going to take is our character, why would we focus on everything else? Why we focus on everything else? The only thing you're going to take is your character. You should be taking every single day of every single waking hour and asking God to refine your character to be more and more like Jesus Christ, His Son. That's it. From Ezekiel 11, 19 to 21, "And I'll give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinance and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their heads, saith the Lord God." And Ezekiel 36:26-28, "And a new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments, and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." From what does it take to make a Christian life? Brother Brown said, "Now I want you to listen for a few moments before closing. I want you to notice one thing and watch closely now. Watch the order of the Scripture. I will take away the stony heart and give you a new heart. Now the heart is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, and I will give you a new spirit. I want you to watch the order." Now many people get mixed up here. They think that they got the Holy Ghost, but they just got a new spirit. You got a religious spirit, many. And from what it does take to make a Christian life, it says, "I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit, and then I will put my spirit." Now, the new spirit, God had to give you a new spirit, but that's a new spirit God gave to you so that you could get along with the Holy Ghost. With that old spirit that you had, you couldn't get along with your neighbor. You couldn't get along with yourself. So you know that you couldn't get along with God. So God gives you a new spirit, and many times under enthusiasm, and if you watch the life that it bears, I hope that I'm not hurting, but I hope that I'm uncovering, see? A lot of times that you'd think that you have the Holy Spirit. Oh, you say, "Well, I sung and I spoke in tongues." Certainly, being that close to it, you might do all of that. But that isn't the Holy Spirit yet, see? The Holy Spirit bears record of Jesus Christ. Now, He taken and what He did. He gives you a new heart, gives you a new spirit, and then He puts His Spirit in you. It's just like, and you don't have to go around and pretend that you're a Christian man. That new spirit brings new life. The Holy Spirit in your new spirit, in your new heart. Your new heart, your new spirit, and the Holy Spirit goes right in the center of your new spirit, and your new spirit goes right in the center of your new heart. Again, from Impersonation of Christianity, he said, "Now, when you do that and don't bear the fruits of the Spirit, then you're in the new spirit. You didn't used to do that, that's right. But God had to give you a new spirit. Why? The spirit you had, you couldn't get along with yourself. So how are you going to get along with God? So God had to give you a new heart, not a patched up one, a new heart. That's your intellect that you think with, a new way of thinking. So your new heart is a new way of thinking. Then He gave you a new way of thinking, that's right. Now notice the new heart is a new mindset, a new way of thinking. Then He said after that, "Then I'll give you a new spirit." What's that? A new desire. I want to do right. Now, I know that I'm a Christian. I'll smoke one more and then I'll throw it away. See? I'll just stay home tonight and just all these little just exactly. Eve stopped for just one moment. That's all she had to do. But now that's the new spirit. Then notice the order of the Scripture. After you get a new heart and a new spirit, He said, "Then I'll put my spirit in you." And what? That's the Scripture. That's what the Scripture says. That's the order or the numerical order of the Scripture. A new heart, a new spirit, and then my spirit. Then God's Holy Spirit. God's new heart that He put in you sets right in the center of you. That's your impulse. Where your emotion goes up. And the new spirit sets right in the center of the new heart. And God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, sets right in the center of your new spirit. And there it controls your emotions. But to accept it and to have a new heart, a new spirit, and His Spirit, part of the Logos is in you, controlling your emotions. And when He coos through His Word, you coo back and answer to Him. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what we have, a great problem in the churches today, because people may have come as far as getting a new spirit, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. And they stop there and they think, "Well, you know, I feel good about church. I feel like, I want to come to church today." And that's what governs them. You know, I'll do a few good things. and then they turn down the word. It's not God's spirit. God, who wrote the word, wouldn't turn down his word. From impersonation of Christianity, Brother Bram said, yes, now watch the order of the scripture. I will take away the old stony heart and I'll give you a new heart. That's the first order. Some of them stop on that first order. You're just getting started. Then he said, I'll give you a new spirit. There's where a lot of you Pentecostals fail. You had to have a new spirit. Oh, you felt good and you felt like that. And oh, how I feel good. And I couldn't have it. And well, you just got started. You're just getting fixed up now to just, and you're just coming in line. He had to give you a new spirit. Why, you couldn't get along with yourself with the old spirit. So how are you going to get along with God's spirit? So he had to give you a new spirit. And he says that's where Pentecost failed. They stopped there. And they thought that was the Holy Ghost. From Matthew 13 verse 15 we read, for this people's heart is waxed gross. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, this is willful thing that they do, their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. So you can see the end time condition of the people is to where insanity has come upon the entire earth and is affecting all that are in Laodicea. But just remember, little bride, God has taken us out of Laodicea and has placed us in the bride age where we are like the children of Goshen and we are free from all the plagues that are coming upon the earth, especially the last plague, which is spiritual death in the cell. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your promise, for your protection. You are the not only El Shaddai, the provider, but you are our banner, you're our shield. And Father, you just are our all in all. Be with us, Father, and may we, Lord, just die to self. May we realize, oh God, the one thing that we could take away from this message this morning is that the only thing we're taking with us is our character. Do we have the character of Jesus Christ or do we not? If we have the character of Jesus Christ, then we are his. If we have not, we are none of his. In Jesus' name we ask, O God, help us, O God, to will and then to do. For you are the author and finisher of our faith. And it is you working in us, teaching us to will, as you taught Jesus who said, not my will but thy be done, and teaching us to do. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have believed.